Have you any idea why it is so important for a Christian to join fellow Christians in fellowship, worship, and service? But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. This is the way we read it in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 24. And this brings to our mind the portion of Scripture we're going to be studying today. We're going to be looking in chapter 20, from verse 24 to the end of the chapter, and our attention is going to be drawn to this incident in connection with Thomas. I expect every one of us would say that the doubting of Thomas is known to everybody. Perhaps one should say it is notorious. Everyone knows that this man doubted that the Lord really was raised from the dead. But I think oftentimes people overlook the reason. I don't know that this is the only reason, but I'm think it is a reason. I think we ought to recognize it because we had it right here in the text that I read to you. Let me read it to you again. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He missed so much. And how did he miss it? He wasn't at church. That's just all. How did he miss so much? He did not attend the prayer meeting. That's the way. How did he miss so much? He did not take part in the special services. That's just what happened. The Christians met together. They were having fellowship together with the Lord. The Lord came and showed himself in their presence. He wasn't there. And because he wasn't there, we're going to see that he just couldn't believe what they said. Notice in verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." They reported that in their fellowship together the Lord Jesus had come and they had had fellowship with him. "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, this brings to our mind something of what we might call the stubbornness of unbelief. I expect that Thomas would have been chagrined. I expect he would be unhappy if he were to know that anybody thought he was proud. I expect he would feel that he certainly had no intention of being arrogant. And yet there's something in the tone of this that would indicate almost something of a vain mind. Let me read it to you again, and you think of it for yourself. "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails." I'm not going to believe what you say. I don't care what you say. I don't think that you saw what you saw, and I wouldn't know for sure. I'm not going to believe it. I'm just going to tell you right now, I've got to see it for myself. "Except I shall see the print of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, you remember that when the Lord Jesus Christ came to the disciples on that occasion in the upper room, if you look back, if you have the Bible open in chapter 20, and you look back and look at verse 20, you will see, when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side by way of identifying himself. There wasn't any question about who it was. And they told, doubtless they told Thomas this. And they told him, "We actually saw him, and he showed us the print of the nails, and he showed us his side." And I don't know that we should dwell on this too long and make too much of it, but Thomas might very well have thought that in their excitement they just imagined this. I don't know that he would call them necessarily untrue. That was not the point. All they could do was say what they had experienced. But he's saying that their experience was not valid. So far as he was concerned, he wasn't going to take it. And he says, "Unless I can do this," he wasn't only going to see the print of the nails, he wanted to put his fingers on them. And he wasn't only going to see the side, he was going to thrust his hand in. You know how when you look at something, have you ever noticed that eyesight is not really the one thing you will trust the most? Did you ever realize that? You realize you don't trust your eyes as much as you do your fingers? By the way, has anyone ever showed you a piece of cloth and told you that this is a good piece of cloth? It's nice and firm and strong, and you look at it, what do you want to do? And what do you do, especially you women folks? What do you do? Isn't it true you reach out and you feel it with your fingers? You put your fingers on it to to reach out. Suppose someone showed you anything at all and said, now this is real smooth. Look how smooth this is. And you look at it to see how smooth it is. Then what do you want to do? Isn't it true you want to put your fingers on it? You want to slide your hand over it? And isn't it true that if you slide your hand over it, you'll believe it more than you will your eyes? It's a very interesting thing. We go more by touch than we do by sight. Because we can be fooled by sight, but we feel like our fingers, they won't fool us. Somebody will say that the flour we are sifting here, the flour for baking a cake, and this flour is real fine and smooth. And the cook will reach in and take some between the fingers and feel it, whether it's fine and smooth. Because you can tell better with the fingers than you can with the eyes. Something like this may be background of Thomas. I'm not sure he ever figured it out the way I did just now, but I do know he did act it in a very natural way. They told him, we saw him. And then they went on to say, he showed us his hands, he showed us his side. Thomas heard that. And then Thomas says, with the stubbornness that an unbelieving person can have, well, so far as I'm concerned, I'm going to have to put my fingers into the print of those nails. I'm going to have to put my hand in that side. I just will not believe. Again, I say, it's very hard to go by this without feeling that you're seeing here an evidence of vanity and arrogance, but I'm not sure Thomas meant it that way. I think he was genuinely sincere and just gave expression to exactly the way he felt. It was his self-assurance, no doubt about that. Now look in verse 26 to 27. And I have just called this the meekness of the Lord. The Lord knew all that was going on, and here's what happened. After 8 days again, a whole week went by, his disciples were within, they were inside this same room, and Thomas with them. This time he was there. He had heard enough about it, this time he came, and so he was present. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you, just as he had done before. Then saith he to Thomas, went right over to him, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Put your finger in the prints of the nails, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Actually put it to the test, and be not faithless but believing. And do not leave your heart and mind in a condition where you are not believing. That's faithless. Do not be without faith. Exercise your faith. Put your confidence in these things. And he gave him this opportunity. And you remember what he did. That he fell on his knees. An attitude and a gesture on his part of complete honor and respect and worship. He just realized that he was the one. Thomas realized he was the one that was at fault. And it suddenly dawned on him that way. He fell on his knees and he cried out, my Lord and my God. And then he hears a word that I want to share with you. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Now that is a real blessing. And he was given, he asked for the privilege of seeing, and he actually given the opportunity of seeing. Because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. But now listen to this. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And that's where you and I come in. You see how we come in at that point? Because, you see, you and I live here 1,900 years later. You and I have never seen the body of Jesus Christ raised from the dead. We haven't been present to see those personal demonstrations in that fashion. And in some cases, with some of us, we're just hearing what is being said. We listen to the gospel as it is being preached. We hear what the claims are made, and we listen to them. And we have no chance of putting our finger in nail prints and no chance to put our hand in any side. But listen to this. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And by the way, we do have something that Thomas was concerned, they didn't have. We have the Holy Spirit now, as they did not have. And you might wonder, well, how in the world could we ever believe? Actually, the Holy Spirit helps us. You must remember that the Holy Spirit had not yet been given to them because Pentecost had not yet occurred. And they saw these things in their own way. We're not exactly in the same condition. But we can take this promise to us the way in which it is given. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. And so this man was brought through to faith. I can't get it out of my mind that it's so important for us to realize that when he was absent, he couldn't believe it. And I think a great many people, actually, this is the reason for their unbelief. You may have people in your family that will say to you, well, I just can't believe the Bible. I'd like very humbly to ask them one question. Do you ever read it? No. Well, if you don't read it, how do you expect to believe it? You don't. Faith is something that doesn't come to you just because you heard it once. Faith is something that comes by reading. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It says you read it, and you read it, and you read it, and you read it. It builds faith in you. If by any chance any of you should any time have a feeling of uncertainty, check up on yourself. How much have you been reading? How many times have you been reading the Gospels? How many times have you gone over these things? You see, it's when you're absent in person or absent in mind, when your attention is drawn elsewhere, that unbelief grows so rapidly in you. Faith is so weak, and you're faithless because you do not have the Word of God in you, the consciousness of it. So I would say for anybody, if you fail to read the Bible, your faith will not be strong. If you do not associate with real Christians in the worship of God, your faith will not be strong. If you do not join with other people in prayer meeting and in fellowship in that fashion, your faith will not be strong. I tell you, staying away from the fellowship of Christian people will hurt you. Get in with believers, and you will be strengthened. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this record that we have read and for this marvelous fact that the Lord in grace and mercy came to Thomas and convinced him. We pray that He will convince us strong and sure that we may be confident in our faith, believing in God and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.